call the Judiciary Committee in session and ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Here.
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 Here. We do have a quorum. I want to explain we have posted Senate Bill 22, Senate Bill 144, and Senate Bill 203. Because of some conflicting with some schedules with some of the persons who want to testify on Senate Bill 22, we will have that a week from today on next Friday. Senate Bill 144, we will have Wednesday. So we will just be working on Senate Bill 203.
That was easy.
Public testimony on. Anybody have any corrections or additions to the minutes of last meeting?
Move approval.
Been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of last meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Will, your Representative Jensen.
I would like to introduce this distinguished group to my lovely wife sitting over there in the crowd. her name is Katie.
Katie, how long have you been married to this guy?
We do have the internet is on, yeah.
It's better than buying flowers for a Valentine's Day event. Coming to this degree.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, we'll take public testimony now on Senate Bill 203, Representative Moog. I mean, Senator Moog.
I'll take either one. I've had both titles. Thank you, Mr. Chair, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. I'm Senator Eric Moog from District 28. I live up in the Dupree Faith area. And Senate Bill 203 has been important to me in a kind of a personal sense. I became involved with a young man who came out of the correctional system and is with foster parents in the Bison area, and just an amazing young man, and has turned into an asset both to the community, and the community has helped him. He has truly blossomed, but that led me to understand that there's a vast need for more foster parents in the state. And to the extent that we have any roadblocks whatsoever to folks feeling comfortable to act as foster parents, we need to remove those roadblocks. And this bill will do one of those small hurdles, if you will be removed. It will place the foster parents essentially on a similar basis to an actual real parent, which is that they won't be liable for the actions of the children that they are in care of. If you'll probably be familiar with, there are two bills that the UJS sponsored asking that the parents or other responsible parties be on the hook for court fees. We did add an amendment on the Senate side to clarify that language, that the foster parents will not also be responsible for those things, essentially because the Department of Corrections is still the guardian of those children coming out. So to that extent, Mr. Chairman, that is really the essence of the bill, just trying to remove that small hurdle from folks if they were reticent about becoming foster parents because of something along this line, that will be removed. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. I know there's other folks here that will be willing to testify.
You want us to stay here till...
I will stay. I'll be happy to, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further proponents of Senate Bill 203? Proponents.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Neil Fulton representing the governor's office. Eric covered a lot of the points. We helped put this together with Senator Boag and some of the other sponsors. He did touch on the main point. This bill puts foster parents in exactly the same footing as natural parents, and we think that will encourage more people to come forth and be willing to be foster parents. One thing I would like to point out about the bill are the two exemptions in there for negligent entrustment of a motor vehicle and agency situations. Essentially, those are included in there to cover situations where the parent themselves have done something wrong. For example, if my father or mother were to give me a vehicle knowing I'd had 5 DUIs and 10 speeding tickets, they would be acting irresponsibly and they would be held liable. It's essentially reflecting on their own actions rather than mine. In agency situations, for example, I grew up on a ranch. If my parents sent me out in a vehicle to the sale barn and I slammed into someone again, they are directing my activities and they would be responsible. So those are the two primary exemptions that are included in there, and they cover existing law as well. So the main thing we'd like to point out about the bill is that it doesn't really change the existing law, but it does codify the common law and give foster parents a level of comfort that they might not have otherwise had. And we hope we'll bring more people forward, be willing to be foster parents. And I believe Corey Nelson and Virginia Weisler from DSS and DOC are here to talk about the need for foster parents and their hope that this will bring more people forward. Be happy to take questions later, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further proponents of Senate Bill 203?
Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Virginia Weisler, and I'm the administrator for the Office of Child Protection. Currently, the Department of Social Services Child Protection has 568 licensed foster homes throughout the state, but we also have over 1,000 children that are currently in our custody, and we are always looking for additional families for the matching process to match a child's needs with the strengths of a family. The information that we know about recruitment of foster homes tells us that it takes a family up to approximately 1 year to decide if they want to pursue foster care. There are many factors that the family consider when making a commitment to foster, and some of those factors include what age and sex of the child would best fit with their family, their types of behavior they can best deal with, medical conditions that they can deal with, deciding how they might want to interact with birth parents, reimbursement for foster care, separation and attachment issues, and liability issues. Over the years in Child Protection Services, we have had instances where a foster child has damaged the property or of another family or injured a person other than the foster child. Some examples include the following. A teenage boy in foster care was riding in a brand new pickup with one of his friends. It was the friend's pickup and the friend was driving. When the friend stopped at a convenience store to go in and get a pop, he left the pickup running and the keys in the vehicle, and the foster child took off with the vehicle, wrecked the vehicle, causing about $2,000 damage. Another foster child visiting a neighbor's home broke a $300 Terry Redland plate. Again, you know, the liability issues. Another foster child got into a fight at a Boys and Girls Club with a child and broke that child's jaw. Again, another liability issue. And we've also had the broken windows, the vans, things like that. These types of incidents cause liability concerns for foster families, those currently licensed and those considering licensure. There is such a need for foster parents in our state, and I believe that Senate Bill 203 will relieve the concerns families have about being liable for their actions or their foster children. This could have a very positive impact on recruitment and retention of the foster families that we currently have. Thank you.
Any further proponents of Senate Bill 203?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Corey Nelson representing the Department of Corrections. We too have have foster care program within our department. We currently have 16 licensed foster homes with about 8 more on the way in the next few months. Those homes are serving about 40 young individuals right now that have some criminal histories that involve everything from theft to burglary, substance abuse, children in need of supervision issues, and a variety of other offenses. A lot of this bill came out of the Department of Corrections getting into foster care because the type of kids that we're putting into foster care are the older kids that are involved in some of the more risky offenses. And you know, no matter how much a child learns going through a placement such as one of the Department of Corrections or a Turning Point or an Abbott House, or how much that foster parent does help keep that parent or keep that child on track, some of those children will slip. Now, some of those children have done such things as take the foster parent's vehicle without permission, have some friends in it, and actually totaled out the vehicle. Now, there's some real possibilities there that some individuals could get hurt in those situations. As a result of that, we just want to make sure that foster parents shouldn't have to worry about losing their home or their life savings that they've worked for all their lives just because they're simply attempting to help a child.
This has been one of the major obstacles in recruiting foster parents for the Department of Corrections, and we just simply want to try and remove that obstacle. Thank you.
Any further proponents of Senate Bill 203? Proponents? If not, we'll open the committee to discussion of the witnesses. Representative Michaels.
Mr. Fulton, please. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Representative Michaels.
Just a couple of questions on the scenarios that have been discussed. I read the amendment, or at least the modification, as Senator Boga had talked about, dealing with agency and negligent entrustment to be separate. The automobile negligent entrustment seems to just be modified there since we have a disjunctive word or. The agency aspect of it seems to me to be pretty broad. That's one question if you deal with it. And second, in Ms. Weisler's testimony, she was talking about damage. Is there any impairment of homeowners in coverage, or how does that coverage then play into this type of bill?
The agency is pretty broad. I mean, essentially any time the foster child would be acting at the direction of the foster parent could potentially face liability. The best example I can think of that would actually happen in real life is an employment situation, a family that has a small business or something like that. But it could extend to a situation where I think the foster parent sends the foster child to the store to pick up a gallon of milk. So there is a degree of breadth there, but I think it's one that needs to be included as an exemption because that is essentially the law in South Dakota. If you are acting at someone else's direction, you are their agent and you are responsible for their actions. So it's a somewhat broad exemption, but I think it's one that needs to be there. The second question I'm forgetting now was
the homeowners
the homeowner exclusion. I can't answer definitively what sort of coverage issues there would be there and who would have coverage. I don't know for sure whether a foster child would generally be covered under homeowner's policy or not. I tend to think they would be, but I don't know for certain at this point.
Very good.
Ms. Weisler? Turning to the Redland plate issue, does the state cover that from a foster placement because they are actually wards of the state then?
What we have in our budget is a very small budget item that we use for foster parent damage reimbursement. And what we've done in most cases is the foster family, if something in their home was damaged, they would turn it into their insurance. And what we're finding is that they all have a deductible to meet. And what we've been fortunate to do is be able to pay their deductible, and then their insurance would have kicked in after that.
Very well.
Normally, it defines members of family, and those would not include foster children because they're not natural or adopted or step.
Right.
Is normally how I've read it. So there already is this exposure to a foster parent. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
The home? Thank
yes.
you.
Thanks.
Representative Siebert.
Social Services again. Don't sit down too much. Representative Michaels, I think, answered most of my questions. But and I think it's a good program. I'm not beating up on it. So if you have a foster parent, does the insurance carrier look at whether you have a foster parent or not, and does your cost of your insurance go up?
You know, I don't know. I know I think in daycare situations it does, but I'm not clear on the foster care situation.
Another question.
Representative Siebert.
The homeowners thing I would think would be a concern. If I have a foster child and goes over the neighbors and busts windows, I think you're saying that my homeowners, Social Service may pick up the deductible, but the actual cost would come from my insurance company. Is that what I think?
In some cases, we've been able to work that out with the family, but it's on a case-by-case basis. The situation where the foster child drove the pickup and damaged the pickup in $2,000, when we visited with that family about submitting that to their insurance company, they were reluctant to because they were fearful of what that would do to their insurance premiums with their son driving. We offered to pay the deductible. So in that particular case, we're working out something with them to cover those costs.
Representative Seaver.
Well, you hit part of my next question, and is if my pickup got damaged, you run into a post, if I have collision insurance, that would cover that. However, if I don't have collision insurance, then I wouldn't have any insurance. So I'm responsible for the vehicle.
And we would try and work something out with you if the foster child was the one that was driving that. You know, come to some kind of agreement as to what would be reasonable reimbursement for you.
So what I'm hearing is kind of an open book is who pays for what.
Yeah, and we end up, like I said, we end up paying the deductibles most of the time, and if that's not acceptable to the foster family, then we will attempt to pay more. Our budget in this area is very limited. It's like $8,500.
Well, I admire the people that do these type of things, and I think we ought to protect them as much as we can.
I have one question. When you have a problem like that, like taking the car and wrecking it, do you then take that child out of that foster family and back into your system?
Well, that's a decision between the Child Protection Services and the foster family. Many times, you know, foster families don't give up on a child because there's an incident like that. You know, if they request that the child be removed, then we would, and we'd have to look for a new placement.
Okay, thank you. Representative Jensen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Clarify for me, so if you have a situation where laws are actually broken, vandalism, kid goes out at night and vandalizes something, then where does I assume that then goes back to the state? Is that how that is?
Then, you know, law enforcement is involved, then with the state's attorney, and some of our kids who have come in through abuse and neglect and maybe 13, 14, 15 years of age and have gotten involved and broken the law, then we go that way through the state's attorney, and then they may end up with UJS or with the Department of Corrections.
Representative Monroe.
If this bill passes and they're not responsible anymore, which I think is good, then what happens when the kid goes out and crashes somebody else's pickup? Is the state just going to start picking that up? Or are they going to just leave them hanging?
Well, we negotiate with the family. We sit down, we work with them, we find out what the expenses are and to see what we can come up with.
Monroe?
Yeah, but this bill says they're not liable anymore. So then who is? That's what I'm asking. Or is the person that owns the pickup just left out hanging?
Well, in the first example I gave, we are working with that family to pay those $2,000 expenses.
The family that owned the pickup?
Right.
Thank you.
Representative Landrum.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would guess that prior to adding a section like this, that the state already has some type of liability, I mean, because of the custody relationship where their foster parents don't have a permanent custody, the state more or less does. So I think there would be some implied liability on the state at that time, and this section just kind of further clarifies it for the foster parent.
For the foster family.
Right. Thank you.
Representative Siebert.
If I had a foster child in my house, I'd be in real trouble because I got too many toys. But supposing that he's riding my snowmobile, would that be motorcycle in pheasant country? These pheasants keep coming up. Lost track here. But a snowmobile this time of the year, I'll use that. But something happens that would be, I have insurance on that. Would that be covered? You handle that similar to an automobile? I look at an automobile as kind of a necessity. Snowmobile is not a necessity.
Well, we are very strict.
And if somebody was in my house, we'd be riding a snowmobile. If I had a foster child 14 years or old or something like that, we would be doing that.
And before we would probably authorize or approve for him to be using that snowmobile, we would look at some kind of safety course and make sure that there was supervision and line out a plan.
I just have one. The idea of this bill is to put this foster child in the same position of the foster family's own children. Is that correct? As far as liability and that sort of thing.
My understanding is what this does is it removes the foster family from being liable for their foster child's actions.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any further questions? If not, is there any opponents of Senate Bill 203? Any opponents? Any opponents? If not, we'll close the committee from public testimony for committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mattson.
I move due pass.
Second.
Motion made by Mattson on the due pass, seconded by Siebert. Any discussion on the due pass motion? If not, Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Bartley?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Hennies?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Mattson?
Aye. McCauley?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Marshall?
Aye.
Noctegal? Siebert?
Aye.
Valandra?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye. Senate Bill 203 passes the committee on a vote of 12 yeas, no nays, and one absence. And we'll go to the House.
Move consent, please.
Which made by Michelson on consent, seconded by Mattson. All in favor of the consent motion, any discussion on the consent motion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. It is on consent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Have a good day, Eric.
Thank you.
I'm gonna close the committee from further official action and ask for a motion to adjourn, but don't leave when we adjourn. But motion made by Monroe, seconded by McCauley to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.